Hello, everybody. I'm Johnny Calloway, and welcome to Says Who for the Addictive Personality. I am author of Dragons to Butterflies, The Metamorphosis of a Man, and The Bridge Where Souls Connect. And I'm here with my co-host, Aura Nadrich.
Hi, everybody. I am Aura, and I'm so happy to be here with you. I am a certified life coach, certified mindfulness meditation teacher, and the author of Says Who, How One Simple Question Can Change the Way You Think Forever, and the creator of the Says Who method for transforming negative and fear-based thoughts. And that's what we're going to help you do. We are going to help you transform those thoughts that get in the way of you creating the life that you want and deserve.
And on the show, we're going to be talking about the 12 steps, A Course in Miracles, and Aura Says Who method. The main thing we're going to talk about and how all three of those things work together is the power of thought and how your thought runs your life. It creates your life. And Aura's going to tell you how we're going to go about that.
We are going to take these 7 questions that I've created so that you can find out if your thoughts are real or if they're not, and if they're serving your well-being or if they're not. And by you sending us in your questions, we're going to be able to work with you directly so that we can help you use the Says Who method to change those thoughts out to make your life work.
And you're going to be submitting your questions. Each week we will be answering these questions. Let's do it, Aura. Hello, everybody. This is Johnny, host of Morph Into a New You, and this is our Says Who for the Addict edition of the show. We have the lovely Miss Aura Nadrich here with you today, and I'm really excited about our particular topic today, and that is facing the facts. What do you think about it, Aura?
Hi, Johnny. So good to be with you today. Yeah, very important topic to talk about, facing the facts. I think you need to define what the facts are that you're facing. You know, what is it that we're really looking at, that we're taking a real close look at? And I know we started our conversation before the show began, and I want to go deeper in that. So share with the audience what you were saying with me, I think is important, and the stories that we tell ourselves, you know, specifically about the mind of an addict is important to look at.
Well, Here's what I was saying to you before the show and what I'll say to our listeners now. When working with a person new to recovery, an addict of any type, whether it be gambling, alcohol, drugs, whatever, we have accumulated. I, prior to coming into 12-step programs, had accumulated just volumes upon volumes of what I thought were facts of evidence to say, the world will never work for me. My mom died when I was 5. My dad was an alcoholic. I grew up with him beating everybody he knew. I was told my whole life I was going to be a drunk and I was going to die drunk. Those are facts. That wasn't stuff I made up in my head. That was real.
Right.
So the goal here, I hope we can do with today's show, is to help turn a light on that some of those facts, those perceived facts, are in fact not facts. So we can begin to see another way of viewing these things. And one of the things that I've come to believe is I can use that quote unquote evidence to keep myself imprisoned into my past. I can say I've always been an addict. I've always screwed up every potential I ever had. I messed it up. Now I can do that. I can hold on to that, or I can say, okay, that's what was, but it doesn't have to be what is.
Yeah, I think, you know, let's use, you know, a term in building a case. How do you build a case in a court of law? You have to gather evidence. So evidence can be real and facts can be real. The things that have happened to us are very real for us. It's what we tell ourselves around those facts, or maybe all the evidence that we've gathered. You know, what do you want to do with all that evidence? Do you want to be a pack rat with your evidence? Do you just want to gather more and more evidence so that it creates this mountain and that you can't get out from under the very thing that you created, which is a mountain of evidence? So I want to say, yes, you can build a good argument as to why you should stay stuck, because you've got so much evidence to prove that life is miserable or life sucks, or you went through this and you went through that and you're not going to amount to anything because of what you went through, which is a fact. I don't want to undermine and diminish what anybody's experienced, because that's been very real for them. Everything that we've been through, to varying degrees, for every individual is real for them. Trauma is real. You know, pain is real. Suffering is real. What we want to understand is, how can we work with what has happened to us? Those are the choices and the decisions that we make. That's where Says Who comes into the picture. This method that I've created, which questions those thoughts, which could be based on your, you know, quote unquote evidence, or based on the facts that you gathered for yourself. That's what you want to decide. Do you want to keep living, being at the effect of what's happened to you? Or do you want to change, change the thoughts, like, my life isn't worth living, or I'm not going to amount to anything because of what I've been through? That is where the work is, Johnny. The work is, what do we want to do with those facts? What do we want to do with the evidence that we've gathered? Everybody can gain evidence. Everybody can gather their evidence. Everybody can talk about what's happened to them, which is in fact a fact. But what do you want to do about it? That's where challenging what you tell yourself that turns into a belief that keeps you stuck based on the evidence that you've gathered to build an argument that you shouldn't get on with your life. That's where the work begins. Is challenging what we tell ourselves.
And I've come to believe, over my years of working with my own addiction and addictive personality, and with many, many others, that my mind is an evidence-seeking machine. And I'm constantly seeking evidence to justify stepping out of my recovery or to justify stepping into my recovery. So right. I have to ask myself, which one am I wanting to serve today? So, and I do that by, in a form of your process. It's like, okay, is this thought serving my higher good? Is it my higher good? Now, we can gather a lot of traumatized children that are now adults can gather all the evidence we want to say that life just doesn't work for us.
Right.
As long as we stay there, as long as we seek out evidence to prove that we're victims to the world, right. Victims to what we talk about here, that I think is so powerful, is we basically let go of the idea that we are victims of our thinking.
Right. And, you know, Johnny, for many, many people, it's very scary to give up your identity. And even if your identity is based on what has happened to you and that's all you've known, you know, if you give up believing that you're a victim, what are you going to replace that with? You're going to replace it with the possibility that you don't have to be a victim anymore. Right. You can replace it with thoughts that can support you no longer being a victim. But you have to ask yourself if you're ready for that. You know, for somebody who really is attached to their story, or their facts, or their evidence, or the narrative that they keep telling themselves that keeps supporting them being a victim, then they're going to want to keep gathering more evidence to bolster that argument and belief that they're in fact a victim. You see, you know, Johnny, we talk about every show, I love to connect the dots. I'm a dot connector. And I want to bring people on the connected dots ride with me. Like, if you can start to connect your dots and start to logically understand how your thoughts continue to support you being the very thing that you quote unquote think you are. If you think you're a victim, you're gonna keep allowing for thoughts to support you being a victim. If you decide that you're tired of feeling like you're a victim, you're gonna have to change out those thoughts. You're gonna have to change out the beliefs. And you're now gonna wanna gather new evidence that's gonna support you not being a victim anymore.
Right, and I wanna reiterate something that I try to get said in every show we have. This is not an easy process. This is not like, oh, I'm gonna think different. My life will be different starting today. Well, your life can be different starting today, but it has a beginning and it has a process. You know, this is not pixie dust.
Right.
Changing the way I've thought for 40 years is not easy.
Right.
You know, and when we started, we were talking about the facts. When I first started trying to work my way out of being the idea of being a victim to an abusive father, so many people, to this day, people that know my story, when I tell them, you know, I'm not a victim. And especially when I say I was never a victim, they're like, you're crazy. You're crazy. I'm only a victim if I continue to choose to be a victim. Now, as a 7-year-old boy that was being abused, was I responsible for that? No. No. But am I responsible today for my perception of that and what I do with that? Absolutely.
Yes. That, what you just said, is key, Johnny, because were you victimized? Yes. Did that happen? Yes. Is that a fact? Yes. But today, are you a victim? No. Are you being victimized? No. Can you change your whole beliefs around having been victimized? Yes. Right. So it's so important to look at the beliefs that we had from our past. You know, I have in Says Who, I talk about current beliefs, positive current beliefs versus negative past beliefs about who we were and who we are today, and how those beliefs can be conflicting within ourselves. You know, we have a belief out of our past that we are a victim, but we can change that to a current belief today that I am no longer a victim. Today is today. Tomorrow is not here yet, and yesterday has already happened. So why not change out your thinking for today? Who am I today? Who am I right this minute? Who I am right this minute is different than any other minute I've lived before it, which means I don't have to be who I was yesterday. I don't have to be the victim, and I don't continue to be victimized. You know, it's like you have to put it in present time. The moment of now is different than any other moment you lived before it.
There are two words that are keep kind of like tapping on the side of my head while we're having this conversation that are very important in this process. One is responsibility and one is honesty. I had to get honest with myself about how I used being victimized as a child to support and justify my not being responsible today. And I'm going to tell you a little story that just really brings that home for me. I was almost a year clean and sober, living on my own, and I was about to have my electric turned off for not paying my electric bill. I walked out of a 12-step meeting, and there was this old guy standing there, and I was talking in the meeting about the situation, and the guy said to me, he said, so what's going on? I said, well, they're going to shut my electric off. And he said, well, why? I said, well, my dad never taught me about responsibility. He said, no, wait a minute. He said, where's your dad live? I said, Kentucky. He said, and you live here in Sarasota, Florida. I said, yeah. He said, your dad ain't got a damn thing to do with you not paying that electric bill. You got to quit using that. But I did. I did that for everything. I didn't go to work. My dad never went to work. So why should I go to work? So I had to get honest about what part of what was going on in my life was my responsibility today and stop blaming it on my yesterday. Does that make sense?
Right. Completely. Because, you know, again, if you go back to the original way that we began this show, talking about, you know, what are facts and what is the evidence and what is the story and what is the narrative and what are the beliefs, you know, people can live their whole lives just supporting the fact that they believe that they're, again, a loser or they're a victim or they're never going to amount to anything. And that's something that you have to ask yourself, you know, taking responsibility, Johnny, when that man said that to you, it's like a light went off in your head.
Yes.
And that's the connecting the dot moment, the aha moment, like, hey, you know what? This man gave you a gift by holding the mirror of reality up to you and saying, you know what? That's a tired excuse. That's an old tired excuse. And you have a choice. You can either keep on using it to, again, support your evidence and support your belief and keep yourself a victim based on what's happened to you. And you chose not to.
And keep myself imprisoned in my past, to keep repeating my past, because I had, in my mind at that time, I had a perfect excuse. Well, but The really important thing about that scenario I just laid out, that's just about quote unquote maybe paying a bill. But the same story holds true for, well, why didn't you tell your wife where you were going? Well, my dad never taught me how to communicate. Well, why didn't you bring her? My dad never taught me how to love. My mom never taught me this. I never had that. So just because you never had it doesn't mean you can't have it today. Just because nobody taught you when you were a child how to communicate doesn't mean that you can't learn how to communicate today. Because all of those things are available to us. But I had to take responsibility for what wasn't happening today and stop blaming it on what didn't happen yesterday.
Well, yes, because, you know, people get a lot of mileage out of holding on to those beliefs and not taking responsibility for changing out the story that they keep telling themselves. And, you know, Johnny, like you said, this isn't going to happen overnight. What we're really proposing to people is you can begin by changing out a thought which has created your belief. And I like to say just trying it with one thought, even if you can take that first step. First steps are huge and important. And for someone that's very used to holding on to their evidence to help support and bolster the belief that they should stay stuck in victimhood, you know, if you can take that one step to changing out that thought that has created a belief for you that's kind of old and tired and hasn't served you well, then that's when you can begin the says who process. That's when you can begin to do what I say in the book, release and replace. Release an old thought which has created an old belief, which has kept you stuck in an old story. And if you are willing to change up that one thought, just that one thought, to I'm a victim, to I was a victim or I was victimized, but I'm not a victim today. And I can change my thoughts to support me not being a victim anymore. That's so powerful. That is such a huge beginning. That is such a big step in opening the door to no longer being a victim. Do you know how big that is? That's really huge. And anybody who's willing to give it a try, who's ready for that change in their life, can do this.
Yeah, and I really want to bring home a point here. You know, what we're talking about is changing thoughts. That's the point we're making right now. But what changing the thought is all about is about changing my life. Because if I change my thought, I change my behavior. And if I change my behavior, I have changed my life. So, right. And changing my life begins with changing my thought. Like I say for my tagline on Morph Into a New You, to change your life, you must change your mind about your life. So I had to stop thinking I was a victim. I had no power over my life. And that I used to kind of look at it like I was a victim of random acts of madness. And I'm not. So, and you're not. I'm talking to the audience now. You are not a victim to your thinking. You can control it.
You can feel that way. You know, that's one of my says who questions. Do you feel that this thought has control over you, that it has power over you? Yes, it can feel that way very strongly. People tell me all the time, or I feel so taken over by my thought. I feel like it's got some control over me, you know. It does have control over you because you're allowing it to have control over you. You're not challenging that thought. You know, I say challenge and question your thoughts. You have a right to do it. It's your mind. You don't have to believe everything that your mind is saying to you. They're your thoughts. You can say, hey, I don't want to accept that thought. I don't want to accept the thought that I'm still a victim or I'm still a loser. You know, you can change that out. You have power over your mind. If you believe that your mind has power over you, even if it feels that way, and I know that it can, but if you start to believe that you can change a thought by replacing it with something else that does serve your well-being, you're going to start to see a shift happening. And if you can commit to it, and do it one step at a time every day like an exercise. It's a discipline of the mind. It's building mind strength. And if you want to give that a try, start today. Start with just one thought. Change it out. Release that negative thought and replace it with something positive. And if you stick to it, you know, we talked about in the last show, Johnny, going from point A to point B. The next thing you know, you've gone from point A to point B. A couple of days later, you're at point M. And you feel good about it. But you have to take those steps. You have to take that step to changing out your thoughts, to change your beliefs, to change your reality, to change your life.
Right, exactly. When someone comes to me from a 12-step program or a 12-step meeting and they ask me for my help, one of the things I say in our first conversation is, okay, I'll try to help you and we'll do what we can. But I need to know one thing. Are you willing to be wrong? I had to be willing to be wrong about my belief system in order to change my belief system to one that actually worked for me. My belief system, when I first quit drinking and drugging, was all about self-destruction. And because I was terrified to investigate it, as we talk about, so that I could challenge it and change it, as you say, release and replace.
Right.
So, but it takes a willingness to be wrong, to be like, wow. And once I started seeing all the places where I had been wrong, I got excited about being wrong. Because being wrong opened the door for me to find what was right.
That's so true. It's so true. But Johnny, what I hear from you over and over again is the willingness to try. You had a willingness to give it a go. You had a willingness to be able to challenge those beliefs. And that's really what we're asking our listener to do. Do you know? You have that story. You have that success story. You went beyond those limited beliefs. I went beyond a limited belief that I felt, that I told myself. We both have overcome limited beliefs that we told ourselves to get to the other side of it. And that's what we're asking our listener to do. We're asking them to want to get to the other side of a limited belief that they have about themselves, and that maybe that belief is wrong. And it's not true, and it's not accurate.
Well, here's where I stand with that today. Still today, I hope to find where I'm wrong. I love being able to say, I don't know. Because when I don't know I can learn. And when I first stopped drinking and going to 12-step rooms, I thought that as a man, I was supposed to know everything. So I was married at the time, this one of those little stories of mine. My wife had a 72 Maverick that was constantly breaking down, constantly making noise. I'd come in from work, if I was working. I would come in, she'd come in, Johnny, the car is doing such and such. And I'd go out there and I'd bust my knuckles and I'd just hurt myself. And come back in, I'd say, well, I think I got it. She'd drive around the block and she'd say, no, you didn't get it. So after I quit drinking and they told me about honesty, I came in from work one day. She said, Johnny, the car needs you to do something to it. I said, no, we need a mechanic because I don't know what's wrong with that car. What a freedom. I don't know was a freedom for me. It was horrible. But after that, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's okay not to know. I mean, there's that great saying, you know, I think it was Albert Einstein. Insanity is trying to do the same thing over and over again with the same results.
Right.
Right. It's like you got to know when it's not working. Right. You know, you talk about honesty, talk about really seeing it for what it is. When something isn't working, try and find something that can work better and be willing to try and be willing to let go of something that is no longer working for you. You know, how much longer do you want to keep doing something that you're getting the same results over and over and over again and it's not helping you? It's not helping you in any way, shape, or form. But it's got to be the willingness to try. You know, trying is the first step to changing your life, really making an effort. You know, that's what I want to reach out to people to say, you can do this if you want to. And even if your mind is racing with all these negative thoughts like, oh, what does it matter? My life's never going to change. Life sucks. I'm this, I'm that. even if you're being besieged with all these negative thoughts that you're telling yourself, all it requires is one thought that can really rise above all those negative thoughts that you're telling yourself. And that one thought of belief to change it out is the very thing that's going to carry you to changing your life.
That's incredible. I love it. Aura, darling, we are at that time. I think I finally got our Facebook page name down. I think you can find us at Says Who for the Attic page on Facebook. Says Who for the Attic. I'm pretty sure that's it. If not, you can find me at johnnycalloway.com. You can find Aura.
AuraNadrich.com.
Wow, what a concept. I love it. So easy in today's world. Please join us, and please send us your questions. Get involved with us here.
That's right. We'd love to hear from you. You know, we'd love to share what we are doing with you so that you can experience it for yourself. I'd love to share the Says Who questions with you. Have you try them out? Have you see how they can change your entire way of thinking? We just would love for you to join us in this journey.
I want to take one moment here extra to extend a big thank you and a big hug of gratitude to Miss Kristen Sonanta Walker for creating Mental Health News Radio Network and for allowing us to have the Morphine, the New You podcast on her network and have our Says Who on her network. What Kristen is doing, what she has done is incredible.
Yes, she's amazing, and she is so shining a light on a much needed area for mental health. So great gratitude for Kristen.
Thank you, Kristen. Thank you, Aura. Yeah.
Thank you, Johnny. Talk soon.
Okay, we'll talk to you guys next week.